Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. I hesitate to read the entirety of this chapter, but I must for the message. I'll probably do more reading than I do preaching. We sort of headed off last night on that direction of what we've got in Christ. But you got to get it. You got to realize it. And that little widow woman went to get what she already had, and what she had was more than enough. And I'm thankful for what the Lord's given me, aren't you? And we put in that thought, making room for what you got. If you find out what you got, you'll have to make some room. She had to clear out the house to get all them pots and pans in there, move the furniture outside. Found out what she had. But I want to look at Abraham here on the day that he has a special visitor. It is Yahweh, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And I don't know in Scripture that I have ever seen anybody any more thrilled when he found out God had come to his house. He was overjoyed, elated, and excited. We'll read down through here, and I'll just mention them before we do. And notice how he expresses it by his actions, his activity. He runs. When he sees it's God, he runs out to meet him. He bows before him. He fetches. He uses that old term, mountain term. He goes to fetching things for God. Business picking up when you start fetching things for God. He makes ready. He says to Sarah, make ready. They need some bread, some meal, make some cakes. Verse 7, he's running again. Sounds to me like he's happy. And when he sees that the Lord is out there, he makes room for God. I'm glad the Lord made space for me in time, in creation. And he made space for me in salvation at the cross. But oh, how we need to make space and time for him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I will come in to him. We'll sup with him and he with me. If you've got time. If you've got space. If you've got room for God. He's got room for you. Amen. Let's read this. And the Lord. You see that now, don't you? Yahweh. Capital L-O-R-D, the eternal, self-existent one, the I Am. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet. Now understand, he's talking to God. Sounds a little out of the ordinary, doesn't it? And rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hastened to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by under the tree, and they did eat. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. He said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. The men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I'll go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which is come up unto me. If not, I will know. The men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. Spake unto him yet again, and said, peradventure there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. He said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord. Peradventure there should be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, but yet this once peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. I'm thinking about this matter of making room in our lives for God. I would say this in the beginning. If you miss the Lord, you'll never know what you've missed. Because it is here in this text, because Abraham had room, God was able to do so much. There's simply four things that I want to emphasize about making room, space, and margin for God. First of all, I must suggest to you, if you're making room for God, as Abraham did, he was making room in that he made room for God, he made room for a manifestation or a revelation of God. It was here at this place on this day he was going to experience God. So much so that when the Lord left, there was no doubt in his mind that that was the Lord. Can't you remember the first time you met the Lord and you knew that was him? And how thankful I am for the many other times he has shown up in my life. And I knew he spoke to me. Times in the house of the Lord that we've left and we said, boy, the Lord was real there tonight. We sensed him in song, we sensed him in sermon, we sensed him in prayer, we sensed him in fellowship. We knew God was present. He's interested in making himself known to us, allowing us to experience who he is on a personal level where we live. How amazing that is. But as he comes, I notice that the Lord doesn't show up with chariots of fire. He does not come with a ladder reaching up into the heavens and angels ascending and descending. There are no heavenly choirs making announcement that he is there. No thunderous proclamations. I notice that he comes in the ordinary. Think about it. Abraham sees three men. But somehow he's able to perceive that God is here. But it's amazing that God comes into Abraham's place, so to speak, in shoe leather. And he leaves in the same. Can I suggest to you that if you miss God in the ordinary, you're going to miss him most of the time. If you're waiting for those angels to show up, those ladders and ascendings and descendings, all of those things, you're going to miss him. Because more times than not, he's going to come and minister to you in the ordinary. As a matter of fact, if God does anything for you, from salvation all the way to heaven, every time, it's going to have a human touch to it. Have a human touch to it. That's just the way God works. You think about it. Jesus came and was born into a human body. He lived his life in a body. Every miracle he performed was in a body. Every prayer he prayed with human lips. He died on the cross in a body. He was buried in a body. He rose in a body. And he sits on the right hand of the Father in a body. But sad to say, all the religious crowd missed him because he was in a body. Oh, aren't you glad for the times that God has ministered to you through a body? A man sent from God. A mother sent from God. A father sent from God. A brother sent from God. A sister sent from God. A saint sent from God that prayed for you and loved you and nourished you and blessed you and pointed you toward God. But you knew that was more than them. That was God ministering through them. Realizing the heavenly was working through the ordinary.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Oh, how God manifests himself through the ordinary.
Yes.
Joshua saw him in the ordinary. He showed up in the ordinary, even in the fiery furnace. The two men on the road to Emmaus, he just come up as an unknown ordinary. But it was Christ. It was God. But he seemed so ordinary. And it was when they were able to perceive that though he seemed so, Abraham knew that though this he seemed so ordinary, he knew this was God. This was God. Well, haven't you heard a preacher preach and you say to yourself, "For it's over with"? Oh, that was God speaking to my heart.
Yeah.
Haven't you heard someone sing and the Holy Ghost move through it and you said, "Oh, the Lord was singing through that"?
Amen.
Everything God has done, you think back on it. Everything he's done for you, it had a human touch to it. Somebody said, "Oh, but I got saved by just simply reading the Word of God. There wasn't no human around." It's 40 humans that wrote this book. Inspired by the Holy Ghost. The fact that you are where you are physically and you are where you are spiritually is connected to someone in flesh, bone, and blood that God put in your life that he could work through them to work into your heart and to bless you in the ordinary. Just think of that. Angels unaware. But this is deeper than that. This is God walking in, so to speak, in sandals, probably with that desert garments and everything else. And all everybody else looked out there and saw three men. And Abraham said, No. Well, that's God right there. He was able to recognize God. Oh, the God that has touched me when I realized when he sent somebody into my life, I knew that was more than just a man, more than just a word. God was coming my way.
Yes, hallelujah.
When I met this precious wife of mine as a young lady, I'm going to tell you, I knew the day I met her, God was coming my way. Again, I say that's why I love coming down here, because I realize I'm coming to a place where God can minister to me through men and women.
Hallelujah.
Having that human touch to it. Coming in the ordinary. That was his fashion. That was his form. He just showed up looking like everybody else. And if you miss him, you've missed God. He may show up in the restaurant somewhere. He may come knocking on the door. He may walk into your life and he'd be gone and you didn't even know God was there. Human as anybody else, they may have been in your life today. Oh, sometimes a little child can speak to you out of the mouths of babes and suckling. The God's getting your attention. Ever heard a youngin' say something and the Lord said, "You hear what I said?" I said, "Well, it's just a baby." He said, "No, I know that." That's why when a young man, a lot of times I go into meetings and they'll have those morning services and they'll let those young preachers preach in their 20s or so on. But I don't sit down there and say, "Well, it's just a young preacher. I'm just throwing her out of gear right here." No. Because about the moment I do, God starts speaking through that
yes,
young fella. And I'm able to receive. I'm able to leave out and say, oh, God came today.
Amen.
Everybody else said, well, where is he at? Oh, he was there. He's there. He's coming to do this. In the ordinary. Aren't you glad he doesn't mind coming to where you are? Coming to where you live, coming to where you exist in the heat of the day. Here comes God walking in, not soaring in.
Amen.
No great announcements.
Amen.
He just walked in. And Abraham said, oh, that's God in the ordinary. Somebody said, well, why does he do that? I'm going to tell you why. Because he comes to the ordinary. And that's the only way he can communicate. You are the ordinary. So God comes in the ordinary so he can speak to the ordinary. Am I not right? Everything you know about God, you've heard through the ordinary. And received it in the ordinary. But here's the truth of the matter. If you ever run into God in the ordinary, you being ordinary, when it's over with, there won't be nothing ordinary about it.
Amen.
Because you'll know you've met with the Lord. Woo! Now, I like it. Because everything I've ever known from God has had an ordinary touch to it. That's how I got it. He gets a manifestation. He gets a revelation of God in the ordinary. But oh, I say to you again, if you miss him in the ordinary, you're going to miss him. As a matter of fact, I'll say this and go to my second thought. You know, when Jesus comes there in Matthew 25, I used to preach a series of sermons on the many faces of Christ. Because he said, when I come, I'm going to come as a thief in the night. Or he said, I'm going to come as a businessman demanding of you what you did with my investment. I'm going to come in the face of an entrepreneur. And he said, I'm going to come as a bridegroom. That's what I'm going to come as, the face of a bridegroom. But when I preached that sermon, I used to throw the preachers really off guard. Because I would tell them, I'd tell the whole church. And I'll say, tonight, I always carry a picture of Jesus in my billfold. Yeah, I might have two or three in here. I've carried them for years, pictures of Jesus. You say, I certainly do. Because Jesus said, when I come, I'm not going to be somebody that you don't know, a stranger. But he said, I'm going to be that person that you didn't give water to when they were thirsty. Or that person that you did. I'm going to be that person that you would not comfort, or that person that you did comfort. He said, I'm going to be the face of everybody you've had anything to do with.
Yes, Lord.
So that's him in there. He said, oh, my goodness, Lord, if I'd have known that was you, I wouldn't have said that to you. Oh, but he said it was me. Huh? In the ordinary. See, he's out there everywhere in the ordinary. And your response to him in the ordinary is in the ordinary. Coming your way, thank God, to Abraham's place. Coming to the ordinary, in the ordinary. But nothing is ordinary about it when it's over with. Making room for God. Making space for God. For a manifestation, a revelation, an experience with God in the ordinary. Woo! As I say, I like it. But if that seems sort of weird. But now, can you see that? Do you agree with that? What's happening in this service is he's ministering to us in the ordinary. But if he ever gets to you, it won't be ordinary. The second thing I notice in that Abraham made room for God, he made room for a manifestation of God or of the Lord or of Yahweh. But I notice he also made room for a meal with God. Abraham eats or prepares a meal for God. Now think about that. He prepares, hastens, fetches this tender calf, this milk, this cakes of bread upon the hearth. He prepares this meal for God. Abraham's eating with God. Now I thought that was a lot as I read through that, but then I began to realize that God loves to eat. You said, well, where you ever find God eating? You ever read the New Testament? Jesus ate so much, they said he's a glutton. Said all he wants to do is go to Mary Martha's, they just eat. But matter of fact, he eats with sinners all the time. He's the eater. Well, you do know that meal, supper time as we call it, or what you might call as dinner, I don't know, is actually a time of communion and of fellowship. It's when you sit down and discuss the things that you've done, that you have in common for the day, and then what's going to happen for tomorrow. As far as the farm was concerned, the old timers, the old time families in the meals. It's one of the last things that Jesus did when his disciples had that communion with them, that fellowship with them, before going to the cross. Breaking the bread and the wine. Having a meal. Oh, listen. God doesn't want to just pass through your place. He'd like to sit down for a meal. But if you'll notice in the text here, it is not God that is pressing for a meal. It's Abraham. Abraham's begging God. He's offering him something. I wonder what is it you've got that would hold God around a little bit. He said, God, if you'll stay, I'll fix you the best meal you ever eat. He's trying to get him to hang around. Trying to get him to stay. And he stays. And they eat and prepare that meal. But there's two things that leaped out at me as a result of that eating with God. My goodness. Abraham's the only man that ever lived, ever knew what God liked to eat. He sat there and watched him. He stood over and watched those as they ate. But two things leaped out at me about this meal. One, first of all, was the cost of the meal. Abraham has invited God to stay for a meal. Now, you know who God is? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the old fella said, and the taters inside there. But did you notice in this text that God came to eat and didn't bring anything? What do you think God could have brought to this meal if he'd have wanted to? Woo! Man, he could just reach back there in the oceans and got everything he wanted. Reached up and got any kind of fowl that he wanted. Got any kind of grain. I mean, he could have. He comes to Abraham's meal, but he brings nothing. But as I pondered the cost of this meal, I realized, now buckle your seatbelts. Buckle your seatbelts. If you're going to have a meeting with God, you're going to have to pay for it because he never brings anything but himself to a meeting. You notice in the New Testament, all the things that Jesus, if there's going to be only one time that he supplied that fish there, what is it, in John 20 or 21, the rest of the time, if there's going to be bread broken, you're going to have to get the bread. If there was going to be a donkey, that's going to be, you're going to have to go, if they're going to ride in the boat, he's going to go in the boat and go across, you're going to have to go get the boat. And here a full meal is prepared and God provides nothing for it. All the cost falls upon Abraham. Do you read that text right there? So what I'm telling you is this. If God comes to the meeting, he ain't bringing anything but himself. He won't come and sing in your service. He won't bring a Bible. He won't be coming in here to preach. He'll just show up and the rest of it's left up to you. Somebody said, yeah, well, why would he do that? I'm going to tell you why. He didn't bring anything to the meal because he had already given Abraham everything it took to have a meal with God. You can have any kind of meal you want with God. It's up to you. He's already given you everything you need to have it. Woo! I'm glad Abraham didn't holler back and say, Sarah, God's here. Is there any of that warmed over pizza left? Get that cold chicken out of there and warm it up. No, he's given all he's got. Why? Because what he's got, God had already given him. And I'm going to tell you something. You can have whatever kind of meeting personally with God you want to have. If you want to have a cheap meeting because you don't have time, you don't want to fool with it, and you're in a hurry or whatever, that's the kind of meeting you're going to have. And no wonder he don't hang around those kind of meetings. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. He's given us, as I've already preached, all the grace we need, all the faith we need, all the peace we need, all the love we need. He's given us all the word we need. We've got it there. He's given us everything. If we want to have a meeting, we can have a meeting with God. But if you have a meeting with God, it'll be up to you as to what kind of meeting you want to have. I preached this in a service here a while back, and there's a young lady there, I guess 20, I forget how old she was. They mentioned that they sang as a family. And she told me the next morning, she said, "Preacher, I appreciate that message." She said, "I got up this morning and I prepared a meal for God. And he showed up." Said, "I got his word and meditated on it. And I prayed and said it wasn't long. There, here he came for the meal." But if you're worried about, which I know y'all don't hear, but if you worry about it, the time. So, well, here, I hope he don't stay all day. Can you imagine Abraham saying that? "Oh, Sarah, God's here. He always wants to eat. I don't have time." I don't know how all that works out, but since I'm doing the preaching, I'm just going to imagine when God went back to heaven, Gabriel said, "Where'd you go this time?" He said, "Man, I went to Abraham's, and I'm going back. Oh, I had a wonderful time." But the cost, are you understanding that? The cost of spending time with God is on you. You can't blame him. He's already given you everything you need to have that time of fellowship. He's given us that word. He's given us of his spirit. He's given us of that time. It sort of works backwards, all of this, from what we normally think about God coming. He comes and Abraham has time, has room, and has margin for him. He's making room for an experience. He's making room for a time of eating or a meal, a manifestation, a meal. He bears the weight of the cost of it. But you know, so many times we go to the house of the Lord wondering what God's going to do for us. And we should want to be blessed, but that's our concern. I want to be blessed. We don't realize that most of the Psalms are filled with the truth that, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, and forget not his benefits." It's about us ministering to the Lord. Yes. Abraham knew that. Abraham was well aware of that. Abraham was not worried about how he was feeling when God showed up. Woo, I love that. I ain't had nothing to drink but water, so. Well, I had some tea. I guess it was all right. Notice how this thing turns around. He said, verse number 4, let a little water, I pray you, be fast and wash your feet. Now, you've got to understand he's talking to God. Rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread. Comfort ye your hearts. Here's the thing about it. He's saying, God, I want you to feel at home at my home. And if there's anything around here that's not pleasing you, and you are grieved, I want to get that out of the way. Because while you're here, I want you to be able to relax and be comforted. Now, you're talking about having a meeting with God. It's really going to pick up when you get concerned on how God feels about how things are going. You can have a pretty good meeting when you begin to inquire of God. That's the Lord. How do you feel about things? Or how do you feel about what I'm doing? How do you feel? And I do that when I go into the house of the Lord. That's why I shifted gears. That's why I said, Lord, I want to find out how you feel about what I should say tonight. It's not about me, Lord. You've come this way. You're my guest. It's all about you. It's almost like he's saying, Lord, I know everybody has aggravated you to death asking for everything. I don't want anything. I just want to know that while you're here, you're at peace with everything that's happening. Oh. And when your heart gets settled on making God comfortable, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. Abraham has made space for God. He's made room for a manifestation. He's made room for a meal with God. But the cost is on him, and the comfort is expressed from him to the Lord. You leave the service and say, Lord, I hope you was pleased with that. Lord, I want to bless your name. You know what's going to happen? He's going to make his way back. He'll come back where he is honored. Now, if God comes, there's a manifestation. If God comes, there is a meal. But notice with me in this text, in verse number 9, on down really through verse number 22, if God comes, Abraham's not only making room for this manifestation, this meal, but he's making room for a message. When God shows up to your house and to your heart, he will always come with a word. That's the reason why he comes. He comes to say something to you. He comes with something for you. And here he comes speaking unto Abraham. He has a divine word for him. And we notice in this text, if you want to read it later when you get home, he gives him a word about his family. He gives him a word about his friend Lot. He gives him a word about his future. It is an inspired word, an important word, a word on time, in time, and ahead of time. He tells Abraham about Abraham. He tells Abraham about Sarah. He tells Abraham about Isaac. He tells Abraham about Lot. He comes to give. Aren't you glad for the word? that God comes and gives to our hearts when he shows up. When his word comes alive. Now, a couple of things I would say about that. Abraham has made room for God, and here God comes with his word. He always brings his word with him. Always got something to tell you. He tells Abraham, first of all, what he wants to hear. This is not the first time God has spoken to Abraham. He has spoken to him on a couple of other occasions about the same thing. About that promise. About that son. About Isaac. Abraham's as human as we are. There are times when he is filled with doubt. Wondering if this is going to come to pass. So God shows up to Abraham and tells him, we noticed in the text, that he tells him in verse 10, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. He said, Abraham, I've walked all the way from eternity down here to your place to tell you the same thing I've already told you two or three times. I told you and I promised you you was going to have a boy. And I know you're having troubles with that, but I've come by to tell you the same thing I already told you. You're going to have a son. I came all the way down there to tell him what he'd already told him. Honey, that's what preaching's all about. That's what reading this word is all about. Not you trying to find something new. It's God taking this same book and saying to your heart what he's already told you. But don't you love that? That's what this singing is all about. All this week I have not heard one truth. I have not heard one song sing a new truth. Every song has come out of this book with the old truths. But honey, I didn't come to hear a new song with new truths. I come to hear the old truths of the Word of God being sung again to my heart. And Brother Lester didn't say, Brother Dane, if you come down here, see if you can't get some kind of new thoughts or some kind of new theories and things and bring him here some things we ain't never heard. If I did, you wouldn't listen. I'm not interested in it myself. Everywhere I go, everything I preach is something that I have preached before, because I always preach out of the same book and I always preach the same truths. Everything I preach is connected to his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his coming back. Whether I go to the Old Testament or New Testament, I'm headed to those places. Now, I may outline it a different way. I may say it a different way or whatever, just like I'm preaching right now. But I ain't got nothing new to say. And you don't want to hear it anyway, do you? No new theories. He comes to encourage his heart. Don't you like it when the Lord comes and you seem to be all along and he said, I've come by to tell you, I told you I wouldn't leave you. And I would never forsake you. So, oh Lord, thank you for coming by. I told you I was coming back, and I know this whole world's falling apart, but I'll be back. I told you I loved you. Ain't nothing changed about that. I told you I could supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've just come by to tell you what I already told you. And that's what happens in worship. Worship is you hearing again what he's already said. He told him what he wanted to hear, but he also told him what he didn't want to hear. Abraham loved Lot. It's evident because he's already went down there and fought for him once and delivered him. And God has come to tell him about what's going to happen in Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, it is evident in the text, he doesn't want to hear that. But here's what I want to say to you. We need to thank God for the things He says to us we want to hear, and thank Him for the things He says to us that we don't want to hear, because there is deliverance in the most of them. There's time when this old book will just make you want to shout. But there's times when this old book will make you want to hunker down and lay down before God. There are things from this old book that you'll say, "Oh Lord, I'm glad you said." And there's some things that come out of this old book and you'll say, "Oh Lord, I don't know if I want to hear that or not." But both truths are living truths. All God's truth is a living truth, and we need to hear whatever He says. But honey, you're going to have to make room for it. Amen. I said last night, I think, that it looks like this thing's doubling down against the believer. They're coming out after us. And I'm no gloom and doom theorist about things. Just look at it. Look at it. And they're coming mad. They're mad. I mean, the devil left heaven mad. He's been mad ever since. But I'm going to tell you, he's mad at God's people. And he's got a group out there that hates God's people. But I'm going to tell you something. The thing that's going to sustain us, it's what God says. Amen. That'll carry us through whatever. And we better be sensitive. I'm going to tell you something. We better be sensitive to what... We better have room for God. Amen. In His manifestation, in fellowship, and have room for God. For what He's got. What He's got for us in His Word. Now, well, see, if you don't have room for God and no need for Him to come by, you miss Him. He'll just walk right on by. You won't even know it's Him. If you don't have room for God, you won't have no fellowship with Him. And if you don't have room for God, He's not going to say anything. No need Him wasting His time. But oh, Abraham has room for God. And in doing so, he has that manifestation, that meal, and that message. But I noticed lastly in this text, it captivated me how that God comes and spends time with Abraham. But He has something in mind. Every bit of this has a goal behind it. Something else I would say to you is God never does anything alone. He'll always involve somebody in it. Now, He could have stopped the rain by Himself, but He had Elijah to pray to have it stopped. He could have started the rain, but He had Elijah to pray to start the rain. He could have got here any way He wanted to, but He used a Mary to be birthed into this world. He don't need us, but that's just the way He does. He could have sent the angels to preach the gospel, but He called me and called you. But the way that works is, you leave yourself open for God and leave time and let Him hang around long enough, and He'll start getting down into your heart.
Amen. Yes.
You ever notice how the Lord will speak to you and it just goes right down deep in here?
Yes.
And then, once He gets there, He's got you. He's got you. He's at the house of Abraham, and He's fellowshipping with him. They got real good and close. They've had a good meal. They've had a good time together. And He said, "Now, Abraham, there's something I need to tell you." And Abraham's, he's minding his own business. He's enjoying God. But all of a sudden, God speaks to him and reaches down into his heart and pulls him in to his operations and pulls him into a ministry. That's how God gets His servants. He gets to talking to you, you get to talk to him, and then all of a sudden He'll say, "Hey, I was going to shoot this out at you." And you say, "Oh, really?" And all of a sudden you're caught. You understand what I'm saying? Said, Abraham, I come by and join the fellowship, Lord, join the meal. I'm going to go. But before I do, I want to tell you about Lot. I'm going to have to go down there and destroy that place, and it ain't going to be good. And Abraham said, it's like a burden dropped on him. He said, oh, God, surely you won't do that. That's how he gets his missionaries. He gets to walking along fellowshipping with them. And somehow the conversation will come up about Africa. And it's like, oh, Lord. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. That's how he called me to preach. That's how he calls a preacher. That's how he gets you to do. That's how he'll get you to release your money or go by the hospital and visit somebody or to pray for somebody or wake you up in the middle of the night. He gets to talking with you. You get to fellowshipping with him real good. I mean, what he'll do, what he did with me, you know, he'll do if the young fella, he'll get him to go, he'll go with him to services. He'll just get in his heart and just pull him to every meeting, you know, whenever, you know how a young preacher is, and he's, or before he's a preacher, and he's sitting there, and that old man of God will get up and preach, and the Holy Ghost is on him, and that young man, he's just enjoying that, his heart's full of it, and the Holy Ghost, and the Lord will say, you know what, I could probably use you to do that. And you're sitting there enjoying the preaching, and all of a sudden it's like, man, you went, no, not me. I don't think I could. Oh, yeah, I think you can. I believe I'd have you to do that. And once he hits you with that, you can't lay it down. Has he ever come and asked you to do something and you tried to walk away from it and you knew God had come and you had such fellowship with him and now you can't lay it down? And you realize that it seems as though God has announced something to you, that the weight of every bit of it falls upon your shoulders. You're going to have to do something. I got to do something. He calls him into a ministry of prayer, and he begins to pray, and he prays so much and so effectively and so personally and so persistently about Lot, so that so when the Bible said in chapter 19, when he brought Lot out, the Bible said he remembered Abraham. It all come out of that time of which he pulled Lot into a praying man. He began a ministry of prayer. If he comes by to visit, he's going to slip up on you. And before you know it, he's going to say, now, you know, you need to pick up that phone and call so-and-so. Or you know, you need to, and then he'll begin to tell you. I don't know what he'll tell you. I know what he's told me. And when he does, it's like something has been birthed in you that is alive. When the Lord comes by, if you'll make room for him, you'll make room for a life-saving part of what he's doing. Now, I'm going to close with this. I know I'm sitting down a lot, but I'm going to close with this. Notice how Abraham talks to God. Did you notice that? It's not unusual in the scriptures for men to be pretty frank with God. Did you notice that? He begins to tell him, using numbers. He said, oh God, I mean, what if there's 50 down there that ain't, that they're righteous? Would you do something for 50? He's almost like an auctioneer. He turns into an auctioneer. He said, got a 50, a 50, about 45, 45, about 50, 50, 30, 30. I got to go. He's taking him all the way down. He could have went to 10 to start with, but he didn't. He started at 50. Like God don't know. He knows where he's going and he wants him to go there. God wants you to be pulled into this, pleading with him for someone else. But notice how he talks to the Lord. Now, I love this. I've been told all my life, we respect the Lord in fear. But it's almost like you can't be honest with him. He said to him, peradventure 50 righteous be in the city without a store, and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein. That be far from thee to do after this manner. He's talking to Jehovah. Watch your mouth, buddy. And to slay the righteous with the wicked, that and that the righteous should be as that be far, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? In other words, he's saying, oh, God. Now, God's come to visit him, and he's told Abraham what he needed to hear. Now, Abraham's telling God what God wants to hear. He wants to hear what's on your heart. Again, in some places where they seem to be so pious and religious, and you call them to pray, and they want to use all these religious terminologies, and I feel like heaven saying, would you shut up? I didn't come here for that. I come to hear. When he comes to you personally, if that's what's on your heart, fine. But if it ain't, tell him what's there.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes.
Don't miss your opportunity to share with him what's going on. And he's looking at the Lord of the universe and said, no, you can't do that. Moses did that. He said, I'm going to make a whole... He said, oh, no, you're not. He said, these nations around here, they'd make a scoff... It'd be a scoffing thing. You can't do that. Elijah did that. He's hid in a cave, and God said, what's wrong? He said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with me. I'm the only one that ain't bowed the knee, and I'm sick and tired of it. Jonah did that. That is no disrespect. That's letting God hear what he wants to hear. What is on your heart? Boy, to be able to have him in your presence and say, Lord, here's what's going on. But here's the truth of the matter now. Abraham's making room for God. He's made room for a manifestation, a meal, made room for a message, and now he's sucked into a ministry. He's a part of what God's intended on doing. And it is here as he talks to God. It is here as he shares his heart with the Lord that this thought prevails in my mind and heart. You can't talk to just anybody like that. It almost has to be your friend. To talk to somebody like Abraham talked to the Lord, that almost have to be a friend. You'd almost have to spend enough time with them that you could just open up because you realize they know you and you know them. In other words, I've done said it. It's almost like they'd have to be your, are you getting this? They'd have to be your friend. Somebody said, I didn't think God had a friend. Two occasions. Abraham was what? Now, you ain't a friend of somebody you don't hang any time or have time for. He made room for God. And when he did, he made room for friendship. Somebody he could tell what was on his heart. Somebody he could... God's been around enough now, he knows he can believe in him. And somebody that... Did you notice in the text? The Lord said, I know Abraham. How do you get to know anybody? Because they've opened their world up to you. And you've made room. But I said in the beginning, I'll say again. You never know what you're going to miss if you miss God. If Abraham had missed God, what effect that would have had on him. On his wife, on Lot. What an effect it would have had. But you see, you'll have to clear out some space, some time, some margin. Because he wants to come if you'll have him. And oh, the importance.
Yes.
Now, it'll cost you. If you let him in, it's going to cost you. And I'll just go ahead and tell you now, if you ain't interested, there's no expense. Please don't invite him. And don't expect him to bring anything. He never brings anything but himself. Because he's already given you all you need to have that time of fellowship. We're all waiting on God to do something. Well, he's not done it. He's waiting on you now. Making room for God.